Sira, page 296. 296, we're still in the middle of the Pasuk. Just a few more things. Pasuk Yud Beis, a few more little things to go over in that regarding Pasuk Yud Beis, then we'll go further. Okay, Pasuk Yud Beis, we mentioned this very unusual remez. The remez, we have to do Radak, we have to do the Mamre, a little more to go, not so fast. But we have to, we're still discussing this very unusual mashal comparing Klal Yisrael, the Aseres HaShvatim. Discussing what will become of the Aseres HaShvatim. The Aseres HaShvatim, we know, was exiled by Sancheriv. Three waves of exile. There are three different periods where Sancheriv, page 294, where Sancheriv came and he exiled the Aseres HaShvatim. First, he exiled the Reuven, Gad, Chatzei, Shevet, Menashe, Be'eder, Hayarden. The second wave was along the coast, the Mediterranean. And the third exile were the people that were in the main part of Eretz Yisrael. The first wave was done very delicately, with white gloves. Everyone was put in business class, sent down to Ashur in a very delicate way. The second wave was not so pleasant. And the third wave of exiles was bloody, was outright nasty. I think Chazal said he marched the people naked. They marched naked from Eretz Yisrael to Ashur. Okay, the details, I'm not sure of the exact details. Here the Pasuk says, what will be of the remnant. So it says in this Pasuk, Koyim Hashem, so says Hashem, Pasuk Yibes, Kasher Yatz L'Roi Mipi Ha'ari. It's going to be just like what the shepherd saves from the mouth of the lion when the lion rips apart the prey. The shepherd has under his possession the herd of his employer, of the owner, and every once in a while the kvasim are attacked by a lion. And when they're attacked, so he tries, the shepherd tries to He's suspected of stealing the animals for himself or eating them for lunch in order that the Baal HaBayis should not suspect him. He would take home with him evidence that he has not done anything wrong. What is the evidence? He pulls out of the mouth, he fights with the lion, and he pulls out, it says here, Shtei Chira'ayim, two legs, or Ovidal Oizen, or he pulls out the cartilage of the ear, as evidence, and this evidence is worthless after it's presented to the Baal HaBayis to prove that he has not done any wrong. It's thrown in the garbage. So this indicates that the survivors of the Aseres HaShvatim are not going to be of any value, Chas V'Shalom, for Klal Yisrael. It's going to be just, there will be survivors just to the point of recognizing they once existed. Well, just to the point of recognizing that once upon a time Klal Yisrael had 10 Shvatim, and now they're gone. If there would not even be one survivor, people would come along and deny the fact that it ever happened. Whoever says there were 10 Shvatim. But you can't do that. It can't be a denial. There will be survivors. The survivors, though, will not provide any benefit for Klal Yisrael, other than just testimony, evidence that they once existed. Just like the evidence in this pasuk, once it's presented to the Baal HaBayis, it is discarded. So too, the evidence, once it's presented to the world, to Klal Yisrael, that once upon a time were Aseres HaShvatim, will be discarded. It's a very frightening pasuk. Ken yinatzlu b'nei Yisrael ha'yoshim b'shemrim, so too will be the remnant of the Jewish people living in Shemrim. And then it said these very, very obscure words, b'faz mita uvid nesek ores. So I think we had total so far five different perushim on what these words mean. So too will be in Shemrim. So one parish was in the capital. The Pasvita means in the stronghold. It's a metaphor. The strongest part of a bed is the corner. This is where there will be survivors. People will be whole, will be bunkered up in Shoimron, the capital. Uvi Dimesek Ores. And in Dimesek, so according to the Mitsudos, according to the Targum, the main pshat was, and the people will put their faith in Ores, means they will put their faith. They will have confidence in Damesek, that they will come to their rescue. Uvidemesek Ores, it's RS is Rechitzin. Rechitzin means faith. And we explain a bed, RS literally means a bed. And when a person lies down on the bed, he is in a state of peace, of menucha. When you have someone upon whom you can rely, that is called, you're at peace. You're at peace with yourself. I have nothing to worry about. I have someone who will take care of me. So the word ores, according to the Targum, is a metaphor for confidence. When you have confidence, you are at peace. And the people will put their confidence in if you learn that Damesek means the nation. Don't read it with a shin, read it with a sin. In Damesek, the nation of Damesek, we will put our confidence, the people, that they will be protected they'll be protected, which obviously is not a good thing, because instead of putting the confidence in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they're putting the confidence in a foreign nation. This is just one of many Purushim. Okay, we're not going to go through all the Purushim again at this moment. Let's just go further where we left off. We did all the entire Rashi. We did the whole Rashi. Let's now go to the Radak. Radak also is going to be Mefalpel, the process. We'll touch upon things that we learned before in the other commentators, the Rashi and the Radak and the Malbim. So let's take from Pasuk Yud Beis on page 297 and his take on this entire episode. Koyama Hashem, so this is Hashem, Shteichir, Aim, Oy, Vidal, Oizen. The remnant will be just two legs or cartilage. So here he gives more Beir. Rav, Oy, Ma'at. Either a lot or a small amount. It seems that Shteichir, Aim, the Radak understands to mean a lot. That perhaps we get lucky that a major chunk of Klal Yisrael will survive this attack, this invasion by the nation of Ashur. Two legs. That's a big chunk of the animal. Okay, what percentage of the animal are the legs? The low portion of the animal in
you're only using two legs in Asher, so you know the forequarter is the only thing that's used, right? Not the hindquarters.
Because of the Gid HaNasha, but let's say theoretically we would take out the Gid HaNasha, so from the entire animal
20%.
That's it, all 20%?
That's
all. So okay, all right.
Because the torso is what weighs.
Okay.
You put a piece of an angle like the side of beef. That could weigh like 275 to 300 pounds. That's one side, so the whole thing that you're using is 500 pounds, let's say, or 600 pounds tops on a cow, on a steer, not a bull. So the legs, not that much.
Okay. But at least there's something. At least there's something, rough or not. Okay, yeah. The cartilage of the ear means nothing. There'll be almost nothing left of Klal Yisrael. Just the cartilage of the ear, that's so insignificant. But Rav means there'll be a significant chunk of the animal left. Rav imad masha yuchal lahatzil yatz. Whatever the shepherd can save, he will save. Shteichir ayim ayafilu b'dal loizen shudavim muat. Im yuchal lahatzil yatzil v'zocha shteichir ayim. Again, I'm reading on page 297 in the Radak, on the left side. Because the legs were the lion eats at the end. He's telling us about the whole psychology of a lion. When a lion attacks an animal and it first eats the torso, and then at the end gets to the legs. Therefore, that gives the shepherd time, since the legs are the last thing on the menu for the lion. The shepherd has if he's going to be able to save something, he's going to save the legs.
He has meat on it because it's bone, mostly bone and muscle.
Okay, so it's not as tasty. It's not as tasty.
The innards first.
What?
The innards, that's soft.
The inside. Okay. But this part, they're going to wait until the very end. So therefore, that's the Radak is telling us that there might be a significant amount of survivors if you get lucky. If you do teshuva, it'll be like the two legs. The two legs is not the majority of the animal, but at least there's some bossa, there's something there. And why do we mention the legs? Because that's what you'll have an opportunity to save. V'zochar bidal oizen. What does it mean, bidal oizen? The cartilage of the ear. V'akoshesh b'oizen. This is the hard part of the ear. Shkitargumoy chas. The lion doesn't even eat it, period. It totally ignores it. And that would indicate that if you do not do teshuvah, even as this event unfolds, there will be nothing left from Klal Yisrael, just a teeny, teeny amount, just cartilage. The people who the enemy doesn't care for, enemy doesn't care to kill, to exterminate every single person. There'll be sick people lying in the bed, they're not going to even bother to attack these people. Why do we focus on Shoimroin? Simple. It was the capital of the Aseres HaShvatim. And it was the last thing to be conquered, obviously, because it was the stronghold. It was very well protected. The tzaddikim who lived in Shoimron will be spared. Like it says, there are going to be 7,000 people that will remain from the Aseres HaShvatim, Kol HaBirkayim, all of the knees, Asher Leicharu LaBaal, all of the tzaddikim who did not worship the Baal, Avol Min HaShvi Lo Yinatzu, from the captives, those that are taken down to Ashur, or there will be no survivors. And indeed the Gemara tells us that we do not know what happened to the Aseres HaShvatim. All of those people from the 10 tribes who went down to Ashur, where are they today? We really do not know. Every so often you'll hear in the news, this tribe in Ethiopia, this tribe in Afghanistan, this tribe over here, people want to tell you that the Taliban are from the lost tribes. They look just like Hasidim, don't they? Right? People will tell you all these strange things. Who knows? Who knows what happened? Who knows what the blood of these individuals, if you trace their blood, who knows where? Obviously, they must have assimilated, intermarried, and who knows? But who knows what happened to the Aseres HaShvatim and what they're doing today, what their descendants are doing today, if they're alive? Umash Omar Bepasmi, what is Bepasmi? The key, Hachela Shahu Shech, maybe the Shiyavah Oyev. He's giving us here a beautiful pshat. If you stitch together all the different mafarshim, you get a much better picture of what's going on here. No one told us this. Why does it say if we assume that the pshat bepasamita means the sick people lying on the bed? That was one of five perushim. The remnants will be the sick people. If it means the sick people, why does it describe them, those who lie on the side of the bed? Someone who's sick, he lies in the middle of the bed. The answer is in the corner of the bed. Why does it say the corner of the bed? So the answer is, he's telling us, because they're afraid. When the enemy enters into the room, they don't want to be found lying on the bed. They'll get shot. The enemy will kill them. So but they're too sick to get off the bed. So what are they to do? So
they cuddle up in the corner.
They're too sick to leave the bed, but they want to hide. Exactly, well said. They cuddle up in the corner of the bed. Kadesh lo yireh, they should not be seen. Now the next words, uvid neshek ores. In Dimeshek there will be a bed. So here the question is, what is Dimeshek? Is it Dimeshek or Dimeshek? Is it Damascus, or is the word Dimeshek, is it with the shin, as our girsa is? And we learned one of the perusha means the fluids of the body. How do you say it?
Bodily fluids,
which means there's a sick person will be lying in the bed. The bed will be filthy from his bodily fluids. So that was one interpretation. If we learn it means meshek with the shin kuf is mashke. It's the shorish of mashke, or it means Damascus. So he explains over here what it means. Kuf al ha'inyan b'milay shaynos ki dameshek kmopeya. Okay, so how now we have a whole new translation for this very unusual word. If you remember when Rashi told us the word the meshek means the aruchos hamita. It means a part of the bed. There is the corner of the bed. That's the foot. You have a bed. You have four legs. One of the legs of the bed, the vertical portion of the bed, or uvid meshek. It means one of the horizontal sections of the bed. Rashi, in that interpretation, was telling us is that he gave a metaphor. It's a very, very difficult interpretation, but he says if you're out playing the baseball and someone one of the players gets injured, okay, he gets run over trying to steal a base, and he's injured and he can't move, so they come out into the field with a stretcher, and they pick him up. Because he got the whole player is there, so you pick him up, and you need a whole stretcher with all the parts, all the paraphernalia to take the guy off the field. But let's say the guy no longer is, the guy has been obliterated. All that's left is his foot, his ankle. So you don't need a whole stretcher. You need 100% of the stretcher for a 100% person who happens to be injured. So then, but if the person is only 10% of him is left, some alien came down and ate him up, and all you have left is his ankle. So you only need 5% of the bed of the stretcher to take away the 5% of the victim that is lying on the ground. I mean, get crazy. I mush an animal. Animal, okay, if the animal, you have a shepherd and the animal is injured, the animal can't walk anymore, so the shepherd calls in a stretcher, he calls Hatzalah, they come with an ambulance to take the animal on a stretcher back home. But if the animal has been devoured by a lion and all that's left of the animal is 5%, you only need, it's a mashal, which doesn't make any sense, but that's what the pasuk is trying to illustrate, to bring home the point, you only need 5% of the stretcher to take away the remaining 5% of the animal that has been devoured by the lion. So even though it doesn't make any sense, right? You don't take a leg of a bed or the horizontal bar of the bed to take away the cartilage of the ear, to take away the leg, but it's a mashal in order to wake us up to what is happening. And that's what it says over here, is that all that's going to be left in Shomrayin are going to be, it's a pathetic situation, a few survivors. You're only going to need the corner of the bed, meaning the vertical leg of the bed, or uvid meshek, the horizontal bar of the ores of the bed. Ores and nitel means the same exact thing, it means a bed. And we're dealing here with different parts of the bed. So that's what Rashi, in one of his interpretations, taught us. If we want to say the word meshek means, may we keep the shin, not the sin. And Rashi told us that it's a word that does not appear anywhere else in Tanakh. It's one of a kind. Here, the Radak is doing something very similar. He's telling us, ki dames, dameshek mopeya. It's a new word. It means the corner. The corner of the bed. It's a parallel to the word, the pa'as mita. V'im loy nimsu loy chaver b'mikra. And basically, he's saying, v'im lo means, here in this context, there does not exist another hechatimsa in the Torah where this word is used in this context to mean the corner of the bed. The eres kemoimita, both these words according to the Radak means a bed. Two words for a bed. Kemohine arso eres barzel, where Oig Melech Habashim, his bed was in eres barzel. The yesh oimrim, some say ki dameshek, hadalid nosefes, who shoik. Okay, another amazing interpretation. Get rid of the Dalit. Okay, that's not a kasha, because Mashke, we always get rid of the Dalit. And now we say the word, get rid of the Mem also. He's saying also, get rid of the Mem also. It means a shoik. It means a thigh. Shin kuf. Kmo, and he's coming to tell us, pshat. Dover habo lameid nimsa lameid. We're learning what it means. Uven meshek besi, hu damesek eliezer. It means the thigh, the stronghold of my bias, the shake, the thigh of a person is what keeps him standing, keeps him erect. And he's calling Eliezer ben Meshek Miloshen Shoik. He is the thigh. He is what keeps the bias standing. He is the stronghold, the Mefarnes, the Shoik Hamitu Apeya. This is the corner. So we've gone through over here so many Pirushim so far. In the meaning of the word Neshek, either means Damascus, it means that the Jewish people, they're putting their confidence that Aseres HaShvatim is hoping and praying that their partner, Damesek, will come to their rescue. Or it means, with a shin, it means the filth, the bodily fluids of a person who's very, very sick. Or it means, Neshek means, it means the horizontal section of the bed, or it means the corner of the bed, or it means the thigh. It means, it's another word which means the leg of the bed. Just like the corner of the bed, it means the leg, the shoika of the bed. So many pirushim, it's just really, this is really one of a kind, this pasuk. When you have a word that has no parallel in Tanakh, you know, it opens up a whole new
you don't find a parallel with a shin.
Right, correct, with a shin.
With a sin, you do.
Damascus, right. That's what we're saying over here, right. Is all the pirushim. Is it a shin, or is it, we said a lot of time, Minchashai talks about the different gears, so is it with a shin or a sin? What?
Even if the Girsa is correct, they're still interchangeable.
Okay, so even if you want to say that it has a sin, you can still interpret it loosely as if it has a shin. Or a shin you could interpret loosely as if it has a sin. That's also possible. Now he's going back to the Yonis and Tirgim. Okay, we did this already. We spent a lot of time on the Yonis and on the Targum, what it would mean, what his interpretation. Yonis and Tirgim, B'tzchoyf Shulton, V'al Damesek, V'chit Sin. What does that mean? Tirgim Damesek B'sin. Not with a shin, but with a sin. K'mo Damesek B'sin. V'chem B'seder Oilam. Rabbi Nacharoi Oimer B'shem Rabbi Yeshua Harayhu Oimer Kasher Yasl Roi B'fas Mita Eilu K'tzos Aseres HaShvatim Shenismichu Al Chizkiyahu Melech Yudah Poltu Mohem B'fas Mita. This refers to, I learned this last week, that the Aseres HaShvatim, there was a small remnant which joined forces with Chizkiyahu. They joined the Malchus of Yehuda. And that's what it means. So he said, I told you, I made a mistake, maybe another pshat, I don't remember. When it says bipa'as mita, that means the stronghold, the shulton, the stronghold of the bed. The strongest part of a structure is the corner. The corner is what keeps something strong. And on Shabbos, if you want, there's a special halacha that on Shabbos to make an Erev in the desert, pasei birois. It's a very unique halacha that you're allowed, that you can make a reshus hayachid in order to carry water when you're traveling on the road by erecting four corners. It's unprecedented. Such a concept. Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back. Okay, the passe birois, the corner is always defined in Mokoyim, and corners represent strength. According to the Targum, the way the Seder Olam elaborates upon what it says in the Targum, that they will only remain, okay, they will only remain in Klal Yisrael a few survivors, and from the Aseres HaShvatim, what will become of these survivors? Where will they go? They will go and join the Malchus of Yehuda. The Malchus of Yehuda here is being defined with the term the Pa'as Mita. It will be the strength of Klal Yisrael is the Malchus of Chizkiyahu. They will join Uvid Mesek Ores. Let's go further in how he explains Pshat in the Targum, from the Targum Yonasan. And that why they called over here. So he's not saying over here. What he's saying over here, another elaboration. The corner of the bed, we discussed last week as well. How many sides are there on a bed? Four. But how many sides are there on a corner? Two. So right angle, there are two sides. If you have four corners, and each corner has two sides, that's a grand total of eight. And the Pasuk is telling us an eighth, only one eighth of the Aseres HaShvatim will survive. Echad el echad mishmoina shebohem. Only one eighth. Contrast that with when they went out of Mitzrayim, how many people went out? According to the similar reading of the Pasuk, one fifth. One fifth survived the episode in Mitzrayim. Well, four-fifths died.
Some said
one-fiftieth, one-five-hundredth, all right. Different terms. But right. One-fifth. How many survived the galus of the Aseres HaShvatim? Only one-eighth. An eighth, even less than a fifth. Ushar Eres Hechnu, where is the remnant? What happened to the other seven-eighths? They are at the transition point. They're at the, what was the term we used last week? Damesek was the place of transfer.
Transit
point. They were all brought, all of the Aseres HaShvatim, the seven Avis of Klal Yisrael of the Aseres HaShvatim were brought to Damesek, to
which
Damascus,
in Syria,
the north east of Eretz Yisrael. Mm-hmm. They were all brought there and prepared for transport to Ashur. So this is where they were all brought. The other seven eighths are Bidamesek Shenemar, the Glesi Eschem Mehola Lidamosek, as it says explicitly later on, Perikei, they will all be brought to Damesek. Umashamar Echar Mishmoina, what's the significance of one and eighth? Cost of Rashi Zalak Bashem Rabbi Menachem Shonema Pas Mita does not say maybe Pas means one side of the bed, which means a fourth. The fact that it does not say pas, but it says bipas, ela bipas mita beachas mishtei ruchais. It means in the corner, which includes two, which is a fourth. Reduce that to half, to an eighth. One of the two sides of the bed, there's an extra base mita beachas mishtei ruchais shalpeya vihi shminis shalmit an eighth. Al ashare arba peos yesh lamita. There are four corners. Okay, so far he's reviewed the parish of Targum. The Targum, says that there's going to be a remnant of Klal Yisrael, those who live in Shemrain, there are going to be a few survivors. Everyone in the out in the whole area of Yisrael from the Aseres HaShvatim will be destroyed. In Shemrain, there will be a few survivors. The grand total number of survivors is going to be equivalent to the Pa'as Mita, a metaphor, one-eighth of the Aseres HaShvatim. And what's going to be with the remainder, the other seven-eighths, will be Damesek. And in Damesek, there's going to be the Ores. How does he translate the word Ores? According to this interpretation, I don't know. Do we have in Rashi how he said the word? I don't remember. How in Damesek there's going to be the transit point. I don't know how he translates the literal word of Ores in this interpretation. I don't know. Damesek is Rechitzin. Rechitzin means, we explain that to mean Bey Anor Rochitz, confidence. So what does this mean? What's the confidence? I'm not sure what it means exactly. It means that's where they're going to be resting. Ores is a bed. They'll be temporarily resting, residing in this location until they get further instructions to be transported to Ashur. I guess it has to be something along those lines. Okay, let's go further. Next words in the Radak, next paragraph, towards the bottom on page 297, in the middle of the Radak, Umash, Tirgim, Yenisan, Bipas, Mita, Bitkoif, Shultan, Perish, Rashi, Zal, Lefi, Sheba, Isa, Hador, Bimei, Yehoi, Ochas, Ben, Yehu, Kosav, Ki, Ibn, Melech, Aram. Now he's giving us another interpretation. This is also a Chazara from what we learned in Rashi. He's telling us about a double nevuah, that during the day of Yeravam, the grandson of Yehoi Ochos, it says, Ki Ibda Melech Aram, that the grandfather, the king of Yisrael in his day, was attacked by the nation of Aram. And Aram destroyed. Aram went and took possession of the land. The Yeravam ben Binoy Hoshiyam, the grandson of Yeho Ochos, he rose up and he took revenge. Shenemar hu heshiv, he restored Eskevul Yisrael, the territory that was stolen by the nation of Aram, was restored by the grandson of Yeho Ochos, whose name was Yeravam, not to be confused with Yeravam ben Nevat, who was the founder of the Malchus of Yisrael, we're discussing a few generations later. V'zehu, that's what it means over here, Bipa'as Mita. Pinas habayis hu chizuka shel bayis, the corner of the home is the strength, the laying of the cornerstone. V'chein pas mita, likewise the corner of the bed is its strength, hu chizuka shel mita, and it means the bed is a metaphor for a person's offspring. Person on the bed is where a person engages in tashmish hamita, which produces offspring. So the strength of his offspring was none other than Yeravam, ben Yehu, ben Yehoi Ochos. Yehoi Ochos suffered a defeat a devastating defeat in his lifetime, but the pa'as mita, the corner of his bed, meaning the strength of his offspring, who would be Yeravam, his grandson, will one day rise up and take back possession of that which was lost in his lifetime. L'chein tirgeim b'skoif shultan, the power of his authority. Reitz Eloimar, the shultan shel Yeravam, the power of Yeravam will one day come and rise up. So according to this interpretation of Rashi, the pasuk here is not a klala. The pasuk here is a bracha. And it's telling us over here is that although there's going to be a time when the land will be conquered by Aram, but the day will come, Kein Yinatzlu, it will be returned. The grandson will rise up and restore that which was lost in the time of Yehoyachas. It will be restored, B'nei Yisrael, Hayyashim B'Shemrein. Who's going to be the one that's going to make the restoration? The Bif'as Mita, his grandson, the Mita, his offspring, not just any individual that is a member of his offspring, but the strongest member of his offspring, namely Yeravam, he will rise up and he will restore. Yinatzlu in this context means he will restore that which was lost in the generation of Yehoyachas. What's then the last two words? Uvidimeshek Orest Uchazar from Friday. What does this mean? There's going to be another tkufa where things are not going to be so uvid. There's going to be an alliance. At this point in time, there's going to be a war, and the Jews are going to win. But go fast forward a couple of years later, things will settle, things will calm down, and everyone will become friends with one another, and then they will join together, the Aseres HaShvatim will join together with Damesek, which is Aram, to fight other nations. There will be an alliance together between Klal Yisrael and Aram with Damesek to go out and wage war. In the days later on, in Pekach, this was the time of Yeshaya, one of the famous Nevuos in the beginning of Yeshaya, of Pekach ben Rimal Yahu. He was sitting together with Ritzin, Melech Aram. They were sitting together and they were questioning, should we go to war? And one of the false prophets came forth and produced iron Karne Barzel, iron horns, and use this as a symbol to show, yes, you shall go fight. The two kings were sitting together, Pekach ben Rimal Yahu, the king of Yisrael, together with Ritzin, the king of Aram. Ritzin's palace was in Damascus, and they were sitting together, and they were debating, is it Kedai? Do we have the manpower? Is it worth the expense, the effort to go and wage war against our enemy? The enemy was another section of Aram. I don't remember who it was. The Al-Malchi Aram. What?
Yisrael Haftar.
The Al-Malchi Aram, B'mekach ben Ramayush, and Nischaber Im Ritzin, Melech Aram, they joined in an alliance. V'zeo shetirgem uvidames shek ores. So don't read it with a shin, read it with a sin. V'al damesek richitzin, it means an alliance, confidence. Pekach ben Rimal Yahu put his faith, his reliance. When you have faith in someone, you're at ease, you're at peace, you're in a state of menucha. A bed is an object that is a metaphor for peace. Menuchasam u'miftacham yiyeh al damesek. Okay, so that concludes the Radak. So what have we done in the Radak, basically? The second section of the Radak, starting from Yonis and Tirgame, the two parts, he explains in detail what it means, the Targum. And he basically, Mila the Mila, he is reviewing what we learned in Rashi. The Targum is very cryptic. The Targum just says that in Shoimroin, they're going to save Kein Yishtei Zvun B'nei Yisrael D'yosin B'Shoimroin. There's going to be survival. The Jews live in Shoimrein, Biskoif Shulton, V'al Damesek Richitzin. And he's given us a whole collection of interpretations of what the words of the Targum mean. One approach is the survivors of the Aseres HaShvatim, whose number is few, only 1/8, the half of a corner, they will will join the Malchus of Yehuda. The Malchus of Yehuda is called on one hand the Pa'as Mita, the strength, but it's also Merames that only 1/8 of Klal Yisrael will survive.
Which is what happened for the second Beis Hamikdash. If you figure, like we learned in Ezra and Nehemiah, that it was only about 10-12% that came back for the building of the second Beis Hamikdash.
5%.
Which is about an eighth.
An eighth, yeah. 5%.
12%, 12.5% is an eighth, right?
12.5% is an eighth.
That's
what it says. Wow, it's very interesting. So they're saying it's the same pattern.
They also say the numbers,
in 1948 they have the same calculation of how from the surviving Jews in the world after World War II, 1948 when the state was established and there was a call to return, who took up the call to return? Approximately 5% of all the remaining Jews in the world made Aliyah right after the declaration, right after the establishment of the State of Israel. And a lot of the Mepharshim, the modern-day Mepharshim, who acknowledge that the state exists, they take note that it's very frightening because in Ezra, it was exactly the same number.
Right.
The percentage of who took up the call of Ezra was approximately 5%. Who listened, Ezra said, Rabbi Isai, it's time to build the Bayis Sheni, there's a Nevuah, let's go. Who listened? 5%. 1948, who took advantage of going to Eretz Yisrael? 5%. What's the problem? The problem is that in Tanakh and Chazal, the Chazal strongly criticize everyone else, the 95% who did not take advantage. So the question is there what to learn from that? Should we feel the heat of the criticism that Ezra and Chazal gave the other 95% who did not go to Eretz Yisrael in modern times?
Right.
That's a raging debate.
Yeah.
Okay, is it exactly the same thing? And then you'll have a whole sheet that no, you can't compare. It's a whole different story. The Shalosh Shavuos, v'chulu, not for now. Let's go further. Okay, but over here, that's one approach, and then the second approach is that we're not discussing the survivors. All right, with domestic RS means that the domestic is going to be the transit point, is the transit point. So again, the Targum is very cryptic. The Targum says the Shulton of the Malchus. And then it says, and the domestic is going to be Rechit Sin. According to one interpretation of the Targum, we're coming to interpret the Targum. It means that the Shulton is Chizkiyahu. The Jewish people will join, the survivors will join the Malchus of Yehuda, and the rest of Klal Yisrael, where are they going to be? They're going to be in Damesek on their way to Ashur. According to the other interpretation, it's two separate prophecies, and the Pasuk is not a curse, it's telling us about the generation of Amos. In his generation, there was a king, there was Yeravam, who was the grandson of Yehoiachaz, the king of Yisrael, not to be confused with the king of Yehuda at a later point in time. There were two Yehoiachaz, but the king of Yehoiachaz of Yisrael, he suffered a devastating defeat, and now he's predicting good days are yet to come when the grandson, the Tekoif Mita, the strong man of his offspring, will rise up and take back what was taken away from them. And then there'll be another Tekufa when there'll be an alliance with Damesek. They will be sitting together in Uvidamesek. Don't read Damesek, but Uvidamesek. There's going to be an Ores. An Ores is going to be peace, Minucha, an alliance to fight other nations of the world. Then let's not forget what the Targum, what the Radak also taught us something unique, and he taught us that the civil parish of the Pasuk is. There's going to be just a small remnant of Klal Yisrael that will survive. It'll be like the Pa'as Mita, like the corner of the bed, Uvid Meshek Ores, and it's another word for a corner. Another word for the corner, either it means the vertical corner. The word Dam Uvid Meshek comes from the word Shoik. Ignore all of the other letters. The only letters that really count is the shin and the kuf, which is the shaykh is the thigh. The thigh is what gives a creature its stature. That's what will remain. There's just going to remain a leg, the leg of the bed. And then the other interpretation, he says it means the corner of the bed. Okay, that's pretty much the Radak. We really, and in the process, he explained a lot or a little the two legs, which means there may be a significant number of survivors if you're lucky. And if you're not lucky, all that will remain will be just cartilage, which is not worth anything. Okay, so that is the Radak, Rashi, Mitsudais. Let's see now the Malmud. The Malmud is Mekatzer. He's not Mayrich very much here. He's only much more Mayrich. Let's see how he learns Pshat. Back on page 295. Koyamar Hashem. Ata Yifarish HaHagdama HaShnir Sh'omar HaYishag Aryeh Bayar V'teref Inla. He's sophisticated. He's following his style in the previous Pesukim. He's coming to match up what it says now to the six metaphors that were given 2 weeks ago or a week ago. Different examples. We spoke at length, Hayelchu Shneim Yachte Vashem Loinoy Adu. That we discussed, that was the previous pasuk. Now we're coming to the next metaphor. The next metaphor from the pasukim back was, does it ever happen that a lion roars v'teref bayar v'teref ein loy? When the lion gives out a roar, we had different interpretations of what this means, but according to the simple interpretation, everyone that hears the sound, the roar of a lion is overcome with terror, with fear, and they just stop. They stop in wherever they are. They're paralyzed.
Well, they smell the food, but the lion is telling them, "Don't come near it. It's mine."
We're saying they're going to be the food. They're the food. The teref ein loy means they're going to become the food. The lion roars.
They don't want to go near his territory.
They're paralyzed.
Right.
That being paralyzed gives the lion the advantage to rip them apart, to attack and eat them alive. Hayishag Aryeh Bayar, when the lion gives out a roar, does it not result in all of the creatures in the vicinity of the sound becoming paralyzed and enabling the lion to consume them, to turn them into teref? The teref ain't low. Sheho Aryeh HaShoyeg Aleihem. Now, what is the mashal? Now we're coming to give the metaphor, the nimshal. The lion. Who is the lion in this pasuk according to the Malbim? It is Ashur, the king of Ashur, Sancheriv. Sha'ari Hashoyeg Aleihem Hushu Melech Ashur, Sheikhin Aleihem Milchama. He's preparing a very elaborate battle plan. He is hiring mercenaries. All of the nations of the world, he's hiring the best skills, the best warriors to come attack Eretz Yisrael. Yitroif Teref, he will rip apart the Aseres HaShvatim, the Yashchisem, and will destroy them. Mefaresh, now we explain, Kasha Yatzil Horoya Mipi Horari Shtei Chirayim, She'i Efshar Sheyatzil Horoya Saseh Shetoref Horari, Rak Yishadel Lahatzil Mipiv Chirayim, Oisichus Ho'ezen. Same thing we learned so far. The shepherd has no chance. There is no way the shepherd can save the life of the sheep. The most he can possibly do is pull out two legs or some cartilage of the ear. For what purpose? So everything so far is the same. Sheyeh loy eid, shenitraf haseh, testimony, it's evidence that I did not steal the sheep, that the lion ripped it apart. Upater v'yapater mil l'shalem, I'm a shomer, right? The shomer is potter on oinsin. Even a shomer sochar is potter on oinsin. It says in the Torah, if you're a shepherd, you're a guardian, and your guardian becomes ripped apart, the shepherd, the shomer, should bring evidence that he did not do anything wrong, to bring the prey, what's been ripped apart, as testimony, as evidence that he did not do anything wrong. So he's going back, he's saying basically what the same that we learned in the Mitsudois David. How does he translate these words? Just Rak HaChaloshim. The word Mita and the word Ores means a sick bed. The sick, the feeble, the people who are not productive, who are not going to enhance society with labor. Ritzayne loymar hachaloshim, the weak people hayoshayoshim bepas mita mechul shosam heim yinatzlu, they will be the only survivors. Shelo yahargemo yagleim, on page 297, they will not be killed or exiled by Sancheriv. It's just not worth his effort. Uvid meshek ores shiur hakosav v'hayoshim bidam meshek. Bipa'as ores. What does this mean over here? Sha'al ho'eres, ho'eres, shoychev ha'choyle ha'gomor, loy ha'cholosh levad. Okay, so he's coming over here to tell us the difference between this, the derech of the Malbim. The Malbim always into words. Always coming to tell us the difference between the synonyms. He wrote a whole sefer called HaKarmel. HaKarmel takes all of the synonyms in Tanakh.
I thought it was called Shemes and Duffin. Malbim. There was a sefer called Shemes and Duffin.
Could be there's another sefer. I'm not familiar. Maybe you're right. I'm familiar with the thing called HaKarmel. Okay. Karmel. It could be another. So it's based all of the synonyms. So here, the same idea. He's telling us what is the difference between the word between a mita and an eres. A mita is for people that have a light. They just have a headache. They're just weak. They're weak today, but there's an expectation that they will have a refuah shlema very, very soon. But an eres is an ICU bed. People that are very, very sick. Shalom eres shoychev hachol hagamor lo yachol shlovat shesham gam hachaloshim ayoshim b'mito lo yinatzlu rak. So he's saying over here, Shasham, Gam Hachaloshim Ayoshim B'mito, Lo Yinot, Tu Rak Hacholim Hashachvim Al Eres Dat Devoy. Only the very sick. Kitchilo Higle Melech Asher Rabim Yisrael Demesek. Okay, so he's explaining over here what he's saying, the whole sequence of events. First, the transit point was Damesek. Kies Aram Higle Likir, Aram, he Higle, he exiled Likir, he moved them to the side. Kir means to the wall. So it seems he's saying over here is that the king of Ashur, he conquered the entire world. Sancheriv didn't just conquer Eretz Yisrael. He conquered the entire world. He cleaned out the entire Aram. Aram ceased to exist. He wiped them out. Damesek was a ghost town because he killed everybody. He moved them out. So what then did he do with the city? He used the city as a temporary transition point for the exiles of the Aseres Hashvatim. Kies Aram, Higl L'Kir. He exiled them. Either L'Kir means to another city called Kir or to the side. I don't know what it means. But he got rid of them. There was no one living in Damesek. Therefore, it was available for use to be a transit point for Hoyshev B'nei Yishol Tachtam B'Damesek. Oy, that's one interpretation. Oy, Sherabim b'bnei Yisrael ha'isyashu be'atzam shabur. Maybe what it means is that they fled there when they saw what was happening. Maybe Sancheriv did not conquer Damesek, and the Jews fled as refugees to Damesek to take refuge. Ki Yerov ben Yoyosh heishavis Damesek lishol kiniska b'mulochim. Why did they go to Damesek? Because this was the territory that Yeravam took back. Yeravam, before Sancheriv attacked and exiled the Aseres Hashvatim, Yeravam, the son of Yoyosh, okay, Yeravam ben Yoyosh, he went and he was able. The grandson of Yehoyachas, he went and he took back this territory, so the Jews had access to this land. The Acharei Zehigel Oysan Melech Ashur Gami Damesek. But ultimately, he came to find the refugees. The Jews thought they were safe in fleeing to Damesek. They were not, because Sancheriv caught up with them there and exiled them. K'moy Shekosov L'kamon V'Iglesias El Me'alei Aschem Eichol L'Damesek. Sh'achar Kach Hevi Oysan Midamesek L'chalas V'chavor. After Sancheriv attacked them in Damesek, he took them to these two cities called Chalas, Lachlach, and Chavar. Umisham higla afachaloshim ayoshim b'mita. And that stage, he even took the sick. V'loim nitzaylu miyodei rak hashechvim al eres tevoy. Only those who live on the deathbed, on the sickbed. All right, so he's giving us a little more flavor. He's basically, the Malbim, basically what he's done over here is he's not elaborated on the Targum. He didn't even touch the Targum. He didn't touch all the Pirushim and Rashi. He basically just told us the very simple translation, what he learned in the Mitzudos David, is that the only ones that are going to survive are going to be the very, very sick people. But he elaborated a little bit more by telling us, well, he differed with the Mitzudos in telling us that the word is not Dameshek, does not mean bodily fluids that make the bed filthy dirty, but it means the city of Damesek with a sin. And he told us the difference between the Ores and the Mita, and he told us that they're going to be two stages. First, they're going to leave alone the people that are sick. Anyone that is sick will not be exiled at the early stage of exile. When Sanherib came for the first wave of exiles, he let the people who were sick, even if they were not deathly sick, but even just not under the weather, they also did not have to go into exile. They'll be saved, Bnei Yisrael, Hayoshim B'Shoyman, even the people that were B'Pa'asmita, they were lying on the side of the bed, meaning they were under the weather. If you had temperature over 98, you did not have to go into exile. But later, there was a later stage in exile where he picked up everyone. Everyone had to go into exile, even the people that were not feeling well. And the only one that he allowed to leave over were the people who were on their deathbeds. Uvid Mesek Ores. At a later stage in the exile, everyone was transported to Damesek, and from there he took them to other cities, to Ashur and various other cities, and the only one he allowed to remain lying in the bed and not go further in exile were the people who were not on the Mita, but were in the ICU, in the Ores. Okay, so it's not exactly the same as the Mitsudos, it's similar, but it's definitely, he's adding some unique interpretation. Okay, before we go to the next part, let's see over here, there's one Maamar Chazal. Then we go on to the next pasuk.
When they exile in various countries,
I think those are places in Ashur. Those are places in
Assyria.
There's
other places in Ashur which enumerates all
the different places where they went. And Save Malachim. Exactly. But he took them. That was population relocation. Everyone was uprooted from their original city. Let's see. There's one Maamar Chazal, and then we go further. Page 294. 294, Kasha Yatzel Haroi Mipi Hari Shteik, and the very, very bottom, the Likutei Shas. Just as the lion, the shepherd says, in Taroif Yi Taref Yivyeu Eid, Ze Eider Divrei Rebbe Yoshia. Now, what Afal Pishon, right? What does it mean, the flock? What is the aid? What is the aid? The Yehu aid. Aid, we translated so far the word aid means evidence. Al pishnayim aidim yokum davar. Just like you have witnesses, human beings can testify concerning an event. When you bring actual evidence, it's the same shoresh. But he's thinking of something different. He's thinking of the word aid is short for the word aider. You bring the flock. Ze aider. Divrei Rebbe Yoshua, Afal Pi Shenaral Dov Zechul Dov Shenemar Koyim Hashem Kasher Yatzel Roy Mipi Harvi Shtei Chraim Ovidal Udel Oizen. So what does it mean over here? You're going to bring the Eider. You're going to bring the flock. I don't know what it means. I don't know what it means over here. What is he trying to say over here? What is he trying to say? Aid means evidence, but he's saying it means more than just evidence. You bring the entire flock, and he brings a raya from this pasuk. The shtei chiroayim evidal oizen. There's something more going on over here, which I don't know. I do not know. Let's go further.
It doesn't bring the entire pasuk. Yeah.
I don't know. There's something more. I'm missing the point. There's something more going on here. Let's go to the next chazal. Rabbi Narai Omer Mishum Rabbi Yeshua Harayu Omer Kasher Yatzel Harayu Mipi Harayu Shtei Chiroayim Evidal Oizen Elu Mikol Yisrael. This refers to the remnants of Klal Yisrael. B'pas Mita Malame. This was what the Mefarshim quoted. Rashi quoted this chazal. Only 1/8. Where was the remainder, the 7/8? Bidamesek. L'kai ma'ashenemar v'iglesi eschem yeholol demosek omar shem tzvokos. Shmo, this is the Seder Oilam, which Rashi quoted, and Rada quoted this from Rashi. We should hear the source. Okay, so that concludes this very difficult section. Okay, it's really very, very fascinating, because it's telling us very carefully what's going to be with the Aseres, what's going to be the end of the Aseres Hashlatim. It's very fascinating that it provides a number. Provides a number of 1/8, which Rabbi Reski is saying is 5%. 1/8 is 12%. So 12%. So 1/8 is 12%. 1/8 is 12%. Okay, so 12% of Klal Yisrael is going to survive. Going to survive. That's what Chazal are telling us.
Don't tell anyone who your math teacher
was. Excuse me. Are we sure that the Mesek is what today we call?
No one knows for sure. No one can answer that question.
Yeah,
I'm sorry if you have anyone that you look up, they'll tell you, oh, Damascus is Damascus, and it's in the same region. Obviously, it's in the same area. It's somewhere there. Is it exactly built on the same exact site? Maybe not. Look, Yerichoy. Okay, so Yerichoy, there's a klala. No one is allowed to build the ancient Yerichoy. So is the Yerichoy today, is that the same Yerichoy? So they say, no, it's in the same area. It's in the same vicinity, but it's not mamish built on the same foundation.
It's also Jericho, New York, it's all built.
Okay, that's a very common thing. It's been what, 3,000 years? There's no way you can prove anything anymore today, because there's so many things, we've not been there for so many years, so it's not so easy. All right, let's now go to the next pasuk. Next pasuk is Shimu. Now we're going to hear more and more. So Shimu v'cho'idu, just a few more minutes. Shimu v'cho'idu b'beis Yaakov. Listen, listen and give over testimony. Give over a warning. Give over a testimony. B'beis Yaakov, amongst the Jewish people. Ne'um Hashem Elokei Tzavakos. In the name of Hashem Elokei Tzavakos. I want you, Amos, to give over the following testimony and message to the Jewish people. What is my message? Pasuk Yudal, Ki B'yom Pokti Pishi Yisrael, Olav, on the day, on that day, that day of reckoning, when I visit, Pokti means when I punish, when I...
This is not a lesson of remembering.
That's what it,
punishing,
Hashem,
yeah.
When Hashem remembers, an expression. When I reflect upon the sin, it's punishment by the eagle. By the eagle.
Yeah, but then it's a pokadati also.
Every generation that suffers punishment is a small portion of the punishment is for the chet ha'egel. On the day when I visit upon the Jewish people punishment, pokadati. I'm going to, for the sins of their generation. When a generation is guilty and they are deserving of punishment, not only will they receive punishment for their sins, the sins of that generation, mixed into the punishment will be a small dosage of punishment for the chet ha'egel. So every time Rachmana Litzlan, the pasuk says, this punishment, it's more than we deserve. Why is it more than we deserve? We're paying off debt. We're paying off the debt of the chet ha'egel. It's a pasuk in the Torah. Uviyoyim pokti, on the day when I punish the Jewish people for their sins, their particular sins of their generation, pokadeti, I will also remember the sin of the chet ha'egel and add punishment, and add punishment as well. Why is that fair? How do we understand that? Lo yumsu avos al banim, ubanim lo yumsu al avos. Nu tzarach in gadol ad ma'od. How this works? Why, in later generations, we suffer for the sins of our ancestors? Chazal says that only it's true if you follow in their evil ways. But can you really say that we're going to? It's not so simple. But let's go further. Pasuk Yudal Kibyon Pakti. Let's just finish up the Yom Pakti. The day that I punish Pishay Shalalov upon them. Ufokadeti al mizbechois Basel. I will then punish them for the sins of Basel. So it's the same idea. When the day will come and the Jewish people will deserve punishment for their sins of that generation, I'll remember the sins that took place during the time of the Aseres HaShvatim, the sins of the mizbechois, the altars that were erected in the Basel. Vinigdu karnos hamizbeach, and the corners of this mizbech will be cut down. V'naflu la'aretz, will fall to the earth. Pasuk Tezvav, v'yikesi beis ha'cheref al beis ha'koyetz. I will destroy the winter home together with the summer home. V'yavdu bote hashen, the ivory towers will be lost. V'safu will mean cease to exist. The word safu means comes with soif. It will cease to exist. Botim rabim l'um Hashem. Let's see the three pasuk in the Mitzvot. Pasuk Gimel back on page 296. V'ho'idu inyin hasra. Hashem is telling Amos, I want you to warn. Ki alpim roiv masrin be'edim l'val yichachesh la'achar zman. It's a borrowed term. There's only one person. Only one person's warning, but we're calling it testimony, so that you do not deny. If a person bears testimony, it is impossible to deny it later on. Next page, page 298, Pasuk Gidalu Ki Biyom Pakti. Return a lema. V'zehu divari. This is the message I want you almost to deliver to Klal Yisrael. Asher bayom she'eskar pishay Yisrael olav. The day when I remember the sins of the Jewish people upon them, l'shalem loy ha'gimul, to punish them for the sins they've committed in that particular time, oz, then, ashkiach, I will pay attention, al ha'mizbechois ha'imdais be'beisel, on the altars that were erected in Beisel for idols, lichrois karnoisam, to cause that their corners are cut down, an expression, the yiplu ala aretz, and they collapse. Beisach, you know, it's just an expression that the day will come when all of their sins will be taken, accounted for. Beisach choyref, lehisanek hayu oisim bayis miyuchel lachoref, the winter, a special winter resort. V'hoye sham min hakrirus, u'min yeshiva saruach, there were very few windows. It was constructed in a way to protect people from the elements, from the cold, and from the blowing of the wind. Ubayis miyuchu lekayitz, that special homes for the summer. The mokum shenoyshev haruach, where the wind blows. The omar sheyakez zemzeritz and lema sheyecheruvu yivyevdu, the entire land of the aseres hashatim be wiped out from their summer cottages to their winter homes. They'll be completely wiped out. Okay, that is the pshut shel mikra. Let's see, maybe we see Rashi. Finish up the section. Rashi, Pasik, Tes, Vav. Beis HaChorf and Beis HaKayitz. Mitel Shohayu Mu'uganim. They were delicate creatures. They were very wealthy. And they had plenty of money to spend. They built for themselves a separate home. Hoyu Bonim Lechem Kolechem Min HaShirim. Shnei Botim. Echad LaChorf. You have a home for the winter. V'yechad LaKayitz. Bote Hashain Dim Chabshin Bishain Dipila, the tooth of an elephant, ivory. It was made for the most exquisite.
That's the tusk,
right? That's what it's called, right?
That's what it's called.
We call the tooth the tusk. We interchange the words. You're right. So the tusk.
Explain the melamine is thrown out of that.
Yes, ivory. It was the most exotic material. In the time of Chazal, it was the most exotic material.
Oh, yeah.
People, they built their homes out of ivory. Ivory towers. And all of this will be destroyed. Look at the Likutei Shas. Okay, Likutei Shas, very interesting. Likutei Shas on page 299, on the very, very bottom. Gesundheit. The cases, I'm going to obliterate the base HaChef and Al-Botei HaKayitz. My time with Rabbi Yehuda, Shemidin Torah, Lishkas Parhedrin, Biturim Mezuzah, Af, why is it that the Beis HaMikdash was there a mezuzah in the Beis HaMikdash? It's machlokes. Why should there not be a mezuzah? It's not a dira. It's not a place where you live. Are you chayef to have a mezuzah in a shul? Absolutely not. Why do we do it? It doesn't hurt. Do you make a bracha? When they put up the mezuzah, the Chanukah Sabayis for a new yeshiva, a new base medrash. Do they make a bracha when they put up the mezuzah?
Good way to get money.
Absolutely not. You don't make a bracha. There's no bracha to
me.
No, you don't need, because it's not a dira. It's not because of the Torah in the building. You don't. It's not a place of living. You do not need. You only have a dira in the bayis where you live. No one lives in the shul, so there is no need. There's no requirement according to halacha to have a mezuzah. And in fact, some hold that it's not proper. If you do not need a mezuzah, you should not have a mezuzah. And indeed, this was the minhag in Europe. This was the minhag among many places. The bedafka. They bedafka did not have a mezuzah on the bote midrashos and the bote kinesios, especially the bote kinesios. But Beis HaMedrash was a little bit different, because there people they sleep, they live a little bit, you shmooze, you do things. But in the Beis HaKnesses, in the classic bote kinesios, there was no mezuzah. It's a new thing today. They put mezuzahs on the Beis HaKnesses.
That's not the show that I've been. Kabbalat Shirayim has no mezuzah.
No mezuzah. Oh, you see, they don't have mezuzah. Behakpada.
Before going into the
Behakpada, you don't have a mezuzah on a Beis HaKnesses. If you don't need a mezuzah, you don't have a mezuzah. The only mezuzah we're supposed to. The Torah says you don't make new halachas. You don't go. You don't. It's not an approach to make new halachas. If you, the Torah does not require mezuzah, it's not a kolod to take the Shem Hashem and hang it up. You don't do that. People have big complaints of hanging up on the walls brich shmei, hanging moedim derabanan, hanging a brach asher yotzar. It's not so simple. When you come out of the Beis Hakisa, you should have on the wall a poster that has the nusach of the asher yotzar. It's not so simple to do that, because you have over here a bracha with the Shem Hashem, even just having Hashem with the letter Hey with the strechel, it's not a kovoit that Hashem's name should be exposed in public. So just because you don't know the Asher Yotzah by heart doesn't necessarily mean that you should put up Hashem's name on the wall. The minhag ha'olam is to be makel, we put them up on the wall, we have in the shul all these psukim, the rabbanon, and the asher yotzar, v'chulu v'chulu. But it's not so simple. And part of that is it proper to hang up a mezuzah in the location where the Torah tells us there is no chiyuv to have a mezuzah? Okay, based on Hamikdash is a machlokes if it had a mezuzah. One opinion says absolutely not. The other opinion says yes, it requires a mezuzah according to the halacha, because the Kohen Gadol live there for 7 days a year. In preparation for Yom HaKippurim, he was sequestered for 7 days, and so therefore he lived there. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, why then, according to the Ma'adem, Rabbi Huy was the one that says, there is no mezuzah in the Beis HaMikdash, even though the Kohen Gadol lived there. So the Gemara is grappling. What?
The Mishmar, which was not on
the... They don't live there. The Mishmar is, they didn't know, in the Beis HaMikdash. It seems not. I hear you saying it, but it seems that they didn't live there. They had quarters outside the Beis HaMikdash.
I thought you needed 30 days to live somewhere to have a
American
law. Oh, so you need only 30 days. You're saying good. I don't know the answer. You're saying good. But if it's Kavua, you need it right away. Okay, let's see. So why was it not one? So Omar Rabbah. Kosova Rabbi Yehuda kol bayis ein asu limos hacham of limos hagesham ein bayis. The answer is because it was only 7 days. That's not the 30-day issue. It's because the Kohen Gadol was not there the entire year. He was only there in preparation for Yom Kippur, and therefore that does not qualify to require a mezuzah. Esrei Abaya, really? You have to be there the entire year round. But look at the post that we just learned. But it says V'chsev V'kesi Beis Hachoref al Beis Hakoyitz, that both of these bottom were going to be destroyed. The fact the pasuk calls it a bias indicates that it's called a bias, that it requires a mezuzah, even though it's not the entire year round. So therefore, the Kohen Gadol just living there part of the year should be enough to require a mezuzah in the Beis HaMikdash. Amalei Beis HaChorev, Beis HaKayitz, Ikri. No. Bayis Tama, lo Ikri. Ein Hachinami, there was no mezuzah. These batim is an incredible thing. If you want to go backwards, is these batim that we're discussing here in the Aseres HaShvatim, they were potter from a mezuzah. Because since they're only called the Beis HaChorev or Beis HaKayitz, and they're not called Bayis Tam, Ein Hachinami. These homes the people had were indeed potter from a mezuzah. Now does that now? Then you can start asking the question. So maybe they bedafka built two different houses, so they should get out of having a mezuzah. The people in Shoyim, people in Aseres HaShvatim were wicked. They were worshiping Avodah Zarah.
To build a house, not to put up a mezuzah, it makes no sense.
Well, it's okay. We don't know. It's interesting. Is that these were people? You know, there were people who technically, you know, people. You live a life. Is a mitzvah an obstacle or is a mitzvah an opportunity? It's interesting. If these people there, they were so wealthy. Think about it. They're so wealthy. It's normal that you have two homes. I have a summer home. And no one is crazy to live in the same home the whole year round. Well, that means you're living in poverty if you have to live in the same home the whole year round. Everyone has a winter home and a summer home. But that would mean, technically speaking, you'll never your whole life make a bracha on a mezuzah if you follow this opinion. Because in order to make a bracha on a mezuzah, you have to have one home. So that means a religious Jew would say, no, I'm not going to have a winter home and a summer home. I'm going to have one home for the whole year round just to have the opportunity, isn't it amazing, to make a bracha on the mezuzah.
You don't need a mezuzah.
No, we don't paskin. We do not paskin like this. This is not relevant to us anyway because we don't follow this opinion. We hold that if you live there for 30 days, you're part of the Yechayv and the Mezuzah. We're very makel Yechayv and Mezuzah. But according to this opinion, it comes as something fascinating.
You rent, you're Mechayv already on Mezuzah.
30 days. If you rent for even 30, you also Mechayv and Mezuzah.
Even before
30
days.
If it's permanent, right. Now, I just want to tell you one point to bring out this point. Of Chaim Soloveitchik. Of Chaim, the famous of Chaim, he was the Rav of Brisk. Okay, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. So he was, his chesed was, he was an incredible Baal chesed. His open house, people came into, they lived, they people came in whenever they wanted, they lie down, and I'll give you an example. He had a whole a Sram Shank. So one day a guy, oh Rebbe, you have a safe? Can I borrow the safer? So one guy took one safer, another safer. Before he turned around, the whole Sram Shank was empty. One day he walks in, and a guy is taking apart the bookcase. So Reb Chaim says to him, "What are you taking the bookcase?" He says, "You don't need it. You don't have any svarim." It got to such a point. Where you don't have any svarim. Now here's the people in those days if there wasn't a bed. Can you imagine? You have a lot of guests coming for Shabbos, all the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren, and there are just not enough beds in the house. So what do? So the custom was, if there aren't enough beds, they had dirt floors, it wasn't very clean, they took down the doors. If you don't have enough beds, that's how they lived. If there's, you need a spare bed, you go to the door, and you take off the hinges, and you put down the door on the floor, and you put down a sheet, and you lie down. That becomes a makeshift bed. Okay, it wasn't like
during
today. Yeah, the whole year round. So people would come and they would lie down all over the house and they would take off the doors to lie down as beds. And people would need, can I borrow your door? I need a door, I have some guests. That's how it was. He did not let people take off his front door. So someone said, Rebbe, why can't we take the front door off? I need a bed. Anyway, the door is open the whole time. People are coming and going the whole day. So what do you need the front door? Can I please borrow the front door so I can use it as a bed? So he says, I can't. Because I hold like the Rambam. I'm chayish for the shita of the Rambam. The Rambam holds, you're not chayiv in a mezuzah unless you have a door. The door doesn't have to be closed. It's not enough what we do just to have Tzuras HaPesach, the lintel, and the mezuzah and the mashkaif. The Rambam is machmir. The Rambam says, in order to be chayv in a mezuzah de'oraisa, you have to have attached to the post a real door that swings, that really is functional. You don't have to close it. You can keep it open 24/7, but there has to be a door. So I'm sorry. I apologize. Even though you're right that I have an open house, everyone's a hefkevelt over here, and people are coming and going the whole day, but I have a mitzvah de'oraisa of a mezuzah. You can't take away from me my mitzvah de'oraisa of mezuzah, and in order to be chayav in a mezuzah, I need the door. Here, the people here living, they live such a lifestyle, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's sad for them. They were so wealthy, their wealth, Oysher Shomur Libolov Lira'osai. They're so wealthy that their own wealth did them in. Because I'm so wealthy, I have a home for the winter and a home for the summer. It doesn't pass for me. I should go live in the same place the whole year round. Mimela, your wealth has done you in, denied you the ability to be behind the mitzvah deraisa of uchasavtam al mizuzoi speisecha uvisharecha.
There's no door, does that mean the mitzvah derabbana that have a mitzvah?
Yes, the Rabbanan, but I don't know the deal, but this is the famous story. The famous story. He did not let the Anim take away his front door because he was chayish for the Rambam. You need a door. You can't take away my mitzvahs. You can take away my food, my svarim, and my bookcase, but you can't take away my mitzvahs. A person has rights. A person has entitlements in this world. Not welfare, entitlements for a mitzvah of mezuzah. And when you read this pasuk, it's amazing. these are the people whose oisher shomor lebalov lirasay to come to the next world and not have been mekayim the mitzvah derais of mezuzah. The point of Yehuda, which because you need to live it the entire year round.
Okay, that was exciting.
My dermatologist has two doors. One has the other one does not. He says that part of the house nobody lives. Upstairs he has an
So there are two handouts here. There are two handouts for Seva Hasidim today.
I made a mistake before, such Amaratz. You're McCoy in Missouri right away if you buy a house. The rent has to wait 30 days. That's what I've been told. You have to wait 30 because it's not yours yet. You might move out. If you buy a house,
immediately,
yeah. Oh, you want to know where that? I remember you shared the story about Prime Minister. We learned this story about waiting a Maisa, I have to tell you. It was such a machazoyer, and because the label also was tremendous.
Yeah.
Wow. I wanted to say, what was the big avl of the Esau? He's over there. Yeah, so he comes home and Yaakov sells him. I mean, Yaakov asks the chorus. So you know, Yaakov knows who he's dealing with already. Or who's he talking to? He knows who Esau is. That's the his. But the worst thing that he did was, so he bought, Yaakov was making a super sabra for Yitzhak, supposedly. So he eats. Yaakov talked to him, you know, because he said, what's he doing there? So he found out what's